going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The Houston Texans have traded the 25th pick to the New York Giants. With the 25th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Mississippi.
All right, there you go. That was the 25th pick in the draft. And as we welcome you in on a Friday, a day two, and really here in Houston, it's kind of day one of the draft. The Texans,
yeah,
now,
baby.
The Texans almost control the draft starting today. Almost control the draft starting today. They basically, Seth, the now number two overall pick in the draft.
They basically got the Derek Stingley selection.
That's it. Yeah, pretty
in the
much.
Draft.
Pretty
yes.
much, yeah.
You know, the one mistake I made was not getting a good night's sleep before the first day of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rookie mistake by me. I ended up staying up late watching television the night before the first day of the draft.
What are you thinking,
for the Houston
man?
Texans.
Yeah.
Okay, boy, man, so much to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack. And
there's no way we can even get through it in the next 4 hours.
Right,
and,
right.
And things are going to be revealed to us as we're discussing all of this. On the sum total of it all,
yeah.
At the very least, if you're a dispassionate observer,
yeah.
If this helps you at all, if you're smarting from the lack of a first-round pick and anything else, for whatever it's worth, in terms of all the trade value charts and whatnot, on the sum total of it all, Caserio did make a good deal. They get an excess value of a late third round pick out
of
that trade.
Should we because there may be people waking up that don't know exactly what the details were last night.
That's a great point, Sean.
So if you're just
I would never be one of those people.
If you're just waking up, no, you wouldn't. If you're just waking up, the Texans, as you just heard right there, did trade out of the 25th pick into the second round with the Giants. So they are picking second tonight, the 34th overall pick. So then you're right. You nailed it. There's a lot to unpack from this. Both, what does this mean for the Texans draft? What do people feel like the Texans should have done? What do we think they tried to do last night? Because there were some players that, Seth, you and I have talked about and coveted that got very, very close to the 25th overall pick. Almost, it would seem, in trade-upable land for the Texans. And there was no trade-up. There was a trade-back. So here is Adam Schefter last night on ESPN with the details of the deal the Texans made to move out of the first round.
Greeny, we said this would be the quarterback range, and the New York Giants have just traded back into the first round to pick number 25, which belonged to the Houston Texans. In return, they're giving up pick 34, pick number 99, and a third round pick in 2026. The Giants at 25 are on the clock. Look for a quarterback here.
All right, so that's the deal. So it's a late third round pick in this draft, pick 99. It's a third-round pick next year, presumably the Giants' third-round pick, wherever that lands, probably high in the third round. And then they move and they move back nine spots for that. Now, you said that I haven't looked at any of the Jimmy Johnson charts, or I haven't seen any tweets telling me, Seth, what the points were for each team on that trade. It sounds like you've seen that. It's an even trade.
Every value, Texans Cap posted the various charts and the technical analysts and everything, and the Texans quote unquote won all of those, which is what you should do when a team is drafting up for a quarterback. When a team trades up for a quarterback, a team like the Giants will get a little bit of a pass of overspending because, okay, go get your guy.
Yeah.
I think there's a perception by a lot of people that I noticed last night because they said it to me. Is that, oh, man, the Texans got hosed. Look at what the Rams got.
It's on the text page, yeah.
The Rams immediately afterwards have a trade with the Falcons where the Rams get about the equivalent of a high third-round pick extra in the trade. So, yeah, the Rams got a really good deal. But if you analyze the Texans' value just – by normal standards, they also got a good deal.
Yeah.
So it's like now what we can find out in the future is whether some of the offensive linemen that got taken immediately afterwards, like Josh Connerly or Josh Simmons, how good do they end up being versus whoever the Texans draft if they draft at number 34.
That's right.
That's the long-term grade on it.
Yeah, it was really interesting because you're right. The Falcons, the very next pick, traded up with the Rams at 26. The reason why I think people think that the Texans got fleeced compared to that deal is because the Rams wound up with an extra first-round pick next year in the deal. But keep in mind, if you look at that trade, the Rams had to give up an extra third in the deal. Texans didn't have to give up anything other than the 25th overall pick. The Rams had to give up an extra third. The Falcons were moving further, or the Rams, I'm sorry, were moving further down the board. The Texans only moved back nine spots.
Yeah.
If the Texans had moved back and stayed in the first round with a team, then I don't think people would be complaining. I think a lot of it is that I mean, there'd be people complaining, don't get me wrong. I do think a lot of it with the Texans this morning is the optics of coming away, of sitting here on Friday morning and they don't have a guy. You know, if they had moved back to 32 and drafted somebody and we have something to sink our teeth into, then I think that that the feelings of the Texans moving back and not picking anybody, are probably minimized there.
The other part of it, too, is that a lot of the name brand guys and the guys that have been discussed most, none of those guys are on a jet on their way to Houston right now.
Right.
That's a big – none of those guys or very few of the guys with a name brand appeal are on their way to Houston right now in the positions of need for the Texans. And so I'm not judging anybody for being upset or – feeling disgruntled about not having the fun and enjoyment of a first-round prospect right now. The other side of it, though, is on the long-term view of things, this is a smart GM type of move. You did add extra draft capital.
Yeah.
You did, even though the Rams got a much better – the Rams really, like at least on the trade value chart, bilked the Falcons.
Yeah.
Whereas the Texans won, quote-unquote, won that trade with the Giants. It just wasn't as extreme as the Rams. But don't look at the Rams trade and think, oh, wow, the Texans really screwed it up. It's just they both got good deals.
My question would be, were you talking to the Rams?
Right,
or, I'm sorry,
right.
Were you talking to the Falcons who traded up with the Rams? Yeah. Were you talking with the Falcons? In a vacuum, this trade, as you point out, Seth, in a vacuum, this trade makes sense. The math works on the trade. My biggest disappointment with this, and Nick Caserio explained, we'll hear from Nick in the next segment. There's just so much to unpack here. My biggest disappointment is I wanted Matthew Golden, and he wound up within what appears to be shouting distance for the Texans.
The tease of Matthew Golden looking like he was starting to slip a little and might, pass through some teams that might not be looking for a wide receiver.
Yep.
That was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest kick to the gut for me was Tyler Booker going to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That was so Tyler Booker and the Cowboys, remember, as much as Cowboys are a clown show of a franchise right now, they draft really well. They draft very, very well. That's why they've been able to be competitive as long as they have, despite Jerry Jones being a buffoon.
It's why they have so many issues with giving players second contracts is because they have so many players that they have to give second contracts to because they draft really well.
They outkicked their coverage when it comes to things. It's like they're married to a hot wife, but they're not worthy of her. They draft really well. And Tyler Booker is the cautionary tale of people who love to say, He'll be available in the second round. You know, Tyler Booker, Emeka Buka, a lot of these guys are like, ugh. Of course he'll be there at 25. Nah, not so fast.
No, they're not. And I count seven guys, Seth, that flew off the board in front of the Texans, a couple of them directly in front of the Texans at 25, where these were all guys that we discussed intensely on this show for 3 months. And it was like, it almost felt like watching the draft. It was a review of every player you and I have talked about in the mock draft injection. Like there were, by the time Donovan Jackson was taken with the 24th pick, you really weren't left with any guys that we discussed with any sort of zest or intensity. Like Banks goes off, Kelvin Banks goes off at 9. We expected that. Tyler Booker at 12, totally agree with you. Kick in the junk. That was the one you hoped would slip to 25, really.
Right.
Kenneth Grant going at 13. I credit you, man. You were all over Kenneth Grant throughout this draft process, and he goes at 13 to Anthony Weaver in the Miami Dolphins.
I was, but you know what, man? I got to grow a pair because I let the consensus opinion beat me down. Because I'm watching Kenneth Grant, and I'm like, dude, I don't, like, big guys don't move like this. Yep. What am I missing?
Yep.
And all I kept seeing was like, well, you know, when you watch all the games and this, that, the other thing. Dude, the guy's a freak.
Yep.
Okay.
13th, Kenneth Grant goes off. Gray Zabel goes 18th, as was predicted by a lot of people.
Right, yeah, that wasn't as much of a kick in the junk because that was about where people expected.
They expect him to go to Seattle. Emeka Buka going at 19th. That wasn't really a kick in the junk. That was just surprising that he went before Matthew Golden, who eventually went 23rd to the Packers, and then Donovan Jackson. By the time Donovan Jackson went 24th to the Vikings right in front of the Texans, I looked over at Amy. I said, he needs to trade out right now. I think all the guys that he wants are gone. The only question is, how hard did he go after those guys? And I got to imagine, Seth, that Mr. Trade-Up, Nick Caserio, was working the phones trying to get some of these
guys. No, he wasn't. He talked about it in his press
conference.
We'll
hear it in the next segment.
Yeah, I mean, he was working, and that's where another thing people were saying to me was like, well, Nick couldn't trade up, which, well, of course he could have traded up. It's how much do you want to give up?
Yeah.
You know, he failed to trade up for Kelvin Banks. Sure. But suffice it to say that at the very least, I don't think he looks at Kelvin Banks the same way he looked at Will Anderson. Yeah. So I think in this draft, that part of it is played out, and including in some of those names that went earlier than what the consensus opinion was saying, is that there's just a big blob of draftable players in the midway through the first, down through the third rounds, and every board is going to be different. So, you know, ultimately you find out over the course of the next 3 years whether these decisions are right for Nick or not. But I think especially in trading out immediately after Donovan Jackson was taken, the pick ahead of them, it feels like he didn't want to overdraft somebody.
Yeah.
He didn't have any of the guys. He does say that one of those guys that they liked and could have
still
drafted
there
at 25 is still available.
Could you believe he said that? I couldn't believe he said that. I think it was Jonathan Alexander who asked the question. I couldn't believe that when I heard that question. I'm like, well, he's not going to say. And it was like a different press conference version of Nick. He's more forthcoming, I think, on our show than he is in those press conferences. That was a very different press. We'll hear it in the next segment. Yeah.
The guy who he had highest rated at that point, who was highest on their board, was still available. So tonight, if the Texans do indeed pick at 34, we're going to get to watch and see. I kind of hope two quarterbacks go, so we'll know for sure.
Yeah.
That if a couple quarterbacks go, and then the Texans pick, we'll know for sure that this is the guy that they had highest.
I think they're picking second tonight. They have a second pick. If I'm not
mistaken, 34. Yeah, no, 34.
Yeah,
34.
I think they pick second tonight.
Sean, basic arithmetic is difficult for me this morning.
That's okay. Yes. That's okay.
I was like, no, Sean, they're 34.
You had to stay up and watch TV two nights ago,
which is three numbers greater than 32.
Yep.
So the quarterback. If a quarterback goes number one overall, in our first round. If a quarterback goes number one overall in the Texans version of the first round,
that's right,
then we'll know for sure that, at least in terms of where the Texans board lined up, then looks like it worked out pretty well. Because one of those guys that he had highly rated or was the highest rated on his board is still there.
Still there. Yep. Still. I couldn't believe he said that. All right. So we'll hear, what does Nick Caserio think of where the Texans are right now? We'll hear from the Texans GM. There were some big doings in the draft last night, too. We'll get to those in headlines. The text page is all over the place this morning on how there's people that are saying, I trust what Nick is doing. There's people saying the Texans got fleeced. This is fun. We're reacting to last night, the Texans trade out of the first round and pick up a few third-round picks along the way. And we'll kind of take inventory here. Where are they with all their draft capital right now, both this year and I think next year is very interesting as well. You can kind of see, I think you can start to see some of the strategy for the Texans, knowing what's on the horizon contract-wise for this team. We'll talk about all that. It is a very, very active Friday here, reacting to last night's draft here on Sports Radio 610. Payne and Pendergast with you. Stay there.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Okay, the reaction on the Jim Adler. Oh, sorry, Ben. Yeah, let's bump in with Casario. My bad. Here's Nick Casario last night, his opening statement at his press conference.
Yeah, we're in a good spot. Feel really good about where we are. We went into the day, I'd say, honestly, we had three different scenarios. Trade up, stay 25 and pick, trade back. I mean, D'Amico and I have been talking about it basically for two, 3 days. Here are some different scenarios. Here are some possibilities. I don't want to say we talked to the whole league, but we probably talked to the whole league on every different level. So, you know, there are some players that we identified somewhere out of reach. You know, some, you know, in the end, trades are a byproduct of teams willing to make a decision to move or not. So, you know, we fell at 25. You know, that was the best thing for us. Puts us in a pretty good spot. Two twos, three threes, picked up another three next year. So, I mean, we'll deal with tomorrow. We think we're going to get some pretty good football players tomorrow. We felt like the value to draft was basically in the middle. So we'll try to take advantage of our opportunities here tomorrow. Put ourselves in a pretty good position next year as well. 1, 2 twos, 2 threes, 2 fours. So, I mean, we've always talked about just creating as much flexibility and optionality for us as possible. And that's where we are. So, I mean, there's two more days of the draft that are left. We'll see how these next few days go. I'll try to, you know, make good, smart decisions tomorrow. Trust our process, trust our evaluations. And then once we get through the draft, kind of flip the page and kind of go to the next phase. So we're going to get good football players. D'Amico and I feel really good about tomorrow. You know, we'll kind of see what happens.
And tomorrow is today, obviously, on Friday. Here's where they're at, and we'll hear more from Nick in just a second. A lot of you reacting. We'll get to your reactions here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. But just, Seth, to kind of summarize, net out where they are quantitatively with picks, I think is a good thing to do for people here as they wake up this morning. Texans trading out of the first round with the Giants. Their first pick today will be second overall on day two, the 34th overall pick. They've got, as of right now, subject to change, obviously. They've got 5 picks tonight, 2 in the second round, 3 in the third round. And next year, as Nick just pointed out, they've got their first round pick, and now they've got 2 seconds, 2 thirds, 2 fourths. They're going to have 5 picks in the top 100 as of right now next year, unless they use some of that capital to move around tonight.
You know? 5 picks makes it a lot of fun tonight. Yes. And over under on how many picks the Texans make tonight is probably right there at 4.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
They're 3.5 maybe. Yeah, they're going to move up or back. Although I think just by them trading out of the 25th pick overall, there's a big mush of players right now that a lot of people thought that's where the real value in the draft would be. If you're upset about the draft just because the Rams totally just – the Rams got a boatload of value 1 pick later when they traded out with the Falcons. The Falcons are getting crushed for that.
Yeah.
The Falcons are getting Fs all over the place on the trade value.
Yeah.
So it makes it look like the Texans got bilked. The Texans did win that trade with the Giants by the trade value charts. So it was a good trade for the Texans. The Giants, you know, they're trading for a quarterback, so they tend to give up more if you're trading for a quarterback. But on the sum total of it all, a lot of how you're going to judge this trade in the future is whether the two offensive tackles taken after the Texans end up being really good offensive tackles.
Yep.
That's by and large, that's how people are going to look at it.
Josh Connerly went a few picks later. I forget to who. I don't have it in front of me. I know Josh Simmons went to the Chiefs, because it probably means that Josh Simmons is going to wind up being a 5-time Pro Bowler now, because he went to the Chiefs with the 32nd pick.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of question marks about it. It was a really smart pick by the Chiefs, because the Chiefs can sit and let him recover from his patellar tendon injury. Yeah. He's got maturity issues. Now, the Chiefs tend to be a great place to cultivate character issues more so than get rid of them.
Fair.
So, I mean, if you want to get arrested, the best place to go. Now, he doesn't have any criminal issues or anything. It's just people have cited maturity concerns. But he could develop into a guy with more hardcore concerns right there in Kansas City.
Yep.
So good job.
I think it's pretty clear that the Texans didn't have a grade on Josh Simmons like a lot of people that did mock drafts thought they might. Josh Simmons was getting mocked to the Texans left and right by draft experts, and he was on the board there at 25. They chose to trade out, and so now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, did you say where Josh Connerly went, or did you?
He went to Washington.
He went to Washington.
Oh, that's right, 29th. Yep, yeah. He went to the Commanders. Yep.
Which is notable, because in a lot of ways, I do feel like there's some elements to his game in pass protection that remind me of Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
I think he has the potential for that. He's not as gifted as Laremy Tunsil, but I think he's more of a, I think he's got more of a blue collar mentality. I think he needs to work at his run blocking, but he does look like he cares about run blocking.
Yeah.
So that's the one I thought there was a really good chance after Donovan Jackson went off the board that Josh Connerly was going to be the pick.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think the Texans were going to be interested in Josh Simmons
me
at
too.
25, just because of the injury issues and the reported, you know, potential lack of maturity
issues.
So that's the one. Connerly would be really interesting to watch and develop.
Yeah, for sure.
But other than that, the guys that went, you know, Tyreek Williams goes to the Lions, defensive tackle. So that's potentially somebody the Texans might have drafted.
Yeah.
But everybody else was safeties, cornerback, linebacker.
Yep.
There's not as much. You know, I don't think the Texans really were eager for those positions as much.
Yeah, I think if people are waking up this morning and they're upset with the Texans moving out of the first round, the sense I get, and I'm feeling some of this as well, because you guys know Matthew Golden was the guy I wanted, that you got so close to getting Matthew Golden. I would have loved to have known if teams were willing, you know, if the Packers would have been willing to move. They're the team that picked Matthew Golden. What would have been the price to trade there? What were other teams asking for from the Texans? Obviously, if the Texans were talking to teams in that 18 to 22 range about Golden, yeah. We don't even know if the Texans loved Matthew Golden enough to take him there. We don't know what their evaluation was.
Well, this is what's clear is this is the thing that annoys me some is when people say somebody, a GM failed, couldn't pull off the trade up. Look, any GM on earth can pull off trading up. Look at what the Falcons did. The Falcons pulled off an idiotically valued trade to trade up with the Rams.
Look at the magnificent Gladstone last night.
Right, which I give the magnificent Gladstone credit for cojones. He gets cojones credit. Yeah. Much in the same way that, hey man, the Texans really, really stretched and reached to trade up for Will Anderson.
Correct.
It was one of the most aggressive non-quarterback trades in NFL history.
Yes.
And it worked out for him. Yep. So likewise, I can't fault anybody that looked at Travis Hunter and said, oh, this guy, he's a unicorn.
Right.
I'm going to go get him.
Absolutely. I think it's back to the Texan fan thing. For me, it's the Golden thing. I think for a lot of Texan fans, Seth, the sense I got was, hey, these offensive linemen are starting to fly off the board.
Yeah.
You know, you start to get into the teens where Zaball was picked and you had Donovan Jackson go right before. Casario was asked about that. What were you thinking as Kelvin Banks and Tyler Booker, these guys are coming off the board in this run on your biggest position of need is starting?
Yeah, I don't think there was really a consensus on a lot of grades. I mean, honest to God, if you look at some of these mocks, like where some of the guys were mocked and where they went, it wasn't even close. So, which again, like players come off the board when they come off the board. So it's all we can do is go through our information, try to figure out like where we think the best spot for us to take that player. So again, we made multiple calls, I would say picking a lot higher than where we were. So teams aren't interested. They're not interested. Nothing we can do about it.
Okay, one more from Nick here. When did trading become a reality in this draft?
Yeah, probably like way before we probably were picking. So, I mean, we were kind of looking, let's say, in the upper teens there a little bit. You know, there were some opportunities. We could kind of move. All right, what are the teams going to do? So we were talking about it. It wasn't like wait until 25 and all of a sudden, like, I mean, at one point I think we had three or four trades, like, potentially on the board before we got to 25. And then when we got to 25, we still had a couple scenarios. Some teams were looking at some situations. So, you know, we took what we felt was the best offer and what the best decision for us was at that time. So we made the move.
Upper teens, the 18th pick, the Seahawks select guard Gray Zabel. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. If you're looking at if you know what – most people were projecting, or most Texans fans were hoping for a wide receiver or an offensive lineman. That's when you're looking at the board and, hey, Gray Zabel's still out there. Emeka Ogbuka is still out there. Matthew Golden is still out there. Donovan Jackson is out there. But the math doesn't quite add up that one of those guys is going to slide to us. Let's start doing some work. If Gray Zabel is gone, then we can get Ogbuka, or we can get, you know, even Derek Harmon. I wouldn't have been ultra surprised the defensive tackle if Derek Harmon had gotten drafted by the Texans, but like he's gone too. So yeah. I think that Gray Zabel pick might have been when they really started feeling like, all right, this the guys that we have really that we'd be really comfortable with drafting at 25, the math doesn't add up now. Let's try to get a move up.
Yep. So the Texans move back out of the first round into the second round. So Nick Casario was asked this last night because they're, you know, anytime you're making that trade, they're weighing, okay, we have some guys, we have an evaluation on that are worth the 25th pick. Are they worth more than these two extra third round picks surplus that we're getting for moving back nine spots? Might they still be there? Are any of the guys, Nick, that you were looking at possibly drafting at 25 still sitting on the board here tonight at 34?
Good question. Actually, one of the players that we were talking about is actually still on the board. Yeah, so it's a good question. So whether or not we actually pick the player, like, we'll see if that actually happens.
That was his forthcoming, especially on something where you, I mean, that's not showing your cards necessarily, but
right.
That's more information than you normally get. I'm not even just from Nick. I mean, out of a GM that's, you know, trying to play things close to the vest, that there is. Who do you think the one guy is, Seth? You got your best available in front of you?
There's a part of me that I wonder where there's part of it where, you know, I think when Nick says that they don't draft for need or by position or whatever, that's, you tweak that always a little bit based on one thing Nick talked about last night. What's this guy's role going to be?
Yeah.
And I just wonder with Travion Henderson,
yes,
the running back out of Ohio State,
that
man.
Would be so
I wonder
fun.
If they're looking there and they're like, well, He doesn't quite have the role that we'd envision right now because Joe Mixon exists, but man, we sure do think he's worth drafting number 25 overall.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about, you know, and again, we don't draft for need. We draft the best player available. I'm just using ESPN's draft tracker and the best available on here. The first several guys that are the best available are at positions where I would be like, why are we... Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, is the first guy on here. Then you got Mike Green, an edge guy. You got Nick Emmanuel, the freak safety out of South Carolina. Yeah. You got the Donovan Izuraku, however you pronounce his name, out of BC. He's an edge. Darius Alexander from Toledo is probably the first one where you can even kind of meld your brain into thinking, okay, he's a D-tackle. D'Amico loves D-tackles. He's fifth on the board. And then, yes, Travion Henderson, a cornerback from East Carolina, Siobhan Revelle, who I think the Texans had in for a visit. Then Shadur is still sitting there. We haven't even talked about Shadur Sanders yet. We'll get into that in headlines. Tight end from Miami. There's not a lot. There's point being, you don't get to an O-lineman or a receiver until you get to 11th on the best available on ESPN's chart, at least. And that would be Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver out of Iowa State.
Yeah, and I think that's where teams kind of tweak their boards based on like what their needs and like what Nick says, what the role for that player will be. Mm-hmm. So they may have gotten to the point where they're looking at their board and how it looks. And man, we've got a boatload of guys here that we feel pretty good about at the top half of the second round. And maybe it becomes a little bit less of just that it's a guy that you're going to plug in immediately, whatever it might be. The fact that Nick said that one of the guys they really liked is still there, that they would have graded as, okay, this would make sense at least. That makes the Browns pick fascinating. I hope that Shadur Sanders gets drafted by the Browns. One, because then the broadcast will stop talking nonstop about Shadur Sanders. I mean, they will be during the Texans pick. You will get zero. I predict this. If Shadur Sanders goes first tonight, there will be zero conversation about the Texans pick because everybody's going to be talking about Shadur Sanders.
Poor Owen Daniels is not going to get his flowers on TV. Yeah. Owen Daniels is announcing one of the Texans picks tonight. Hopefully not that one, because you're right. It'll get buried underneath Shadur Sanders. Couple texts real quick. I want to read these. Keep sending them in. We're going to sprinkle. We got a long segment coming up at 7 o'clock to get y'all's opinions in on this. But just to illustrate, Seth, the dichotomy here, these are back-to-back texts. First one, I'm not surprised. Ocho, noted Matthew Golden lover. Y'all can try to find logic in this, but Nick effed up, period. That's from Ocho. Next text. People mad at Nick Caserio are crazy. There's no trade machine that lets you just jump up 15 or 10 spots to go get a guy. SMH. Yeah, yeah, it does. It takes two to tango, you know.
Listen,
you can trade for anybody. It's what do you want to give up to trade for?
Listen, Ocho, you know, you and I are just different. I don't fall in love with these hoes, you know? I just, look, man, you want to be desperate? You want to roll over your 401k for some hoe? Yeah. Nah, they're all dumb rookies, okay? That's right. I like Matthew Golden a lot, and I was enticed by him. But I ain't going to fall in love with these hoes.
No.
Okay? All right.
I liked his vibe. His suit was awesome.
Dude, that suit is an all-pro suit. Yeah, I know, suit. Honestly. Matthew Golden, that hurt.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden hurt.
Yeah.
All those multiple guys went that I would have been excited about. Matthew Golden hurt already. And the fact that he started to slide, you start to look at like, oh boy, the Texans will have options, and it might actually be Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
And then he walks out in that suit.
Then
man, he's gonna be the rookie of the year.
The way that Murphy, the president of the Packers, announced the pick too, where he said with the 23rd pick for the first time since 2002. And I'm like, no. He goes, a wide receiver gets dropped. I'm like, just say it and rip the Band-Aid off, please.
Direct shot at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true.
Rodgers had a justifiable issue with the Packers never drafting a wide receiver in the first round. That was just justifiable issue that Rodgers had. But I felt like that was rubbing salt in the wound a little bit.
All right, we're all over this today here, not just our show. Keep it tuned to Sports
Radio 610. We're all over the place.
We are all over the place, and we're all over the draft. Headlines, and this will be an all-draft version of headlines, I promise you, coming up here, because there were no Rockets and no Astros last night. But we'll lay out what they got on the table for this weekend. And the big doings in the draft, non-Texans, we'll get into in headlines coming up next.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
everything baseball all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's get to today's headlines here. We'll start with just Astros and Rockets laying out what we got going on this weekend, because neither of them played last night. We should mention Astros in Kansas City to take on the Royals this weekend, and the Rockets game three is tomorrow night in San Francisco against the Golden State Warriors.
I was PO'd at the NBA for the scheduling by the time the Texans traded out of the first round. I thought, oh, we could be watching a West Coast basketball game right now.
Oh, yeah.
What the? Oh, thanks a lot, NBA.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have to steal everything from us?
Yeah. Well, there was. If you wanted basketball, it was on, but it was not. Yeah. That would have that, but not great basketball last night. The Texans. So that's what's going on. We'll certainly touch on the Rockets at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Big game tomorrow. News with the Texans. They picked nobody last night. They basically, Seth, yesterday made two trades. We haven't mentioned the first one because it's not super significant, other than I think the smoke signal that it sent before the draft started. Nick Caserio sent their fifth round pick and a fifth round pick in a couple of years to Cleveland to pick up some sixth and seventh round picks this year. This looked like it was somebody going and like dipping into petty cash to pick up some pocket change to move around in the draft eventually.
Nick talked about it in his press conference, and what he said was they just want to have that option and ability in the sixth round to get somebody.
Yeah.
And he cited, I can't remember who he cited, one of the Texans' sixth round pick.
He cited Hutchinson and Jarrett Patterson both.
Yeah. So that all made sense of it, and it was all an exchanging of pocket change at the end of it.
So that happened before the draft. The big trade, the one that has everybody talking, is the Texans moving out of the first round. The 25th pick in the draft rolled around. The two picks that went right before the Texans were set to pick were Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas, goes to Green Bay at 23. And then at 24, Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State and from right here in Houston, he went to Episcopal High School, went to the Vikings. So the Texans move out of the first round. The Giants trade up and draft Jackson Dart. The Texans move back to 34, pick up a couple extra third-round picks, one this year, one next year. And now they've got five picks today, so they've got the run of the place today. And then they've got extra picks next year in the second, third, and fourth rounds now as a result of this trade and the Laremy Tunsil trade.
People are upset. I would say based on our YouTube chat and the texts, about 75% of people are upset. 25% of people are saying, like, hey, man, just hold your water. Let's see what happens. Personally, on my side of it, emotionally, I was initially devastated, mostly because I had the cake sitting right in front of me, and then it was pulled away from me. But one of the parties pulling the cake away from me was the NFL at large, because every single guy that the Texans had really been linked to was off the board by the time Donovan Jackson wanted to pick ahead of them.
Yeah.
Where the rubber meets the road, and what we'll find out in the coming years, is the offensive tackles taken in the first round after the Texans would have selected at 25, Josh Connerly and Josh Simmons.
Yeah.
Do those guys end up being really good pros in the NFL?
Yep.
And unless this first pick in the second round is a Kamari Lassiter, or third round would be a Kalen Bullock. Like that's the give and take. Mm-hmm. It makes sense mathematically and in the big picture scheme of things, but boy, there's so much of it that felt like the Kenyon Green trade back. Mm-hmm. That boy, all right, don't screw it up. Don't trade back in the first round or out of the first round, and then the guys that you could have taken end up being really good pros.
Yeah, if you find a solution at left tackle, whatever it is, then it diminishes. You know, even if those guys wind up good, if you wind up as a good offensive line somehow, people will forget about that. But if they don't solve the offensive line issues, and Connerly and Simmons, to your point, both become viable pros, that's going to sting. You know,
well, I'll tell you, I mean, if they don't solve the offensive line issues, this is the kind of stuff that puts people on the hot seat.
Absolutely.
That part of it, I mean, that'll be a discussion for this coming season, but it is. It feels, And that's why I understand people who are really PO'd, just because it feels like you're kicking the can down the road on a very, very important issue. The left brain in me, if I have one, says, all right, it does make sense from a GM, like, broad picture perspective.
Yeah, no, for sure. As far as the big picture topics in the draft last night, we've been very Texans heavy here early on. Shedeur Sanders did not get drafted. Fell out of the first round.
That's news to me.
I was watching
NFL Network and ESPN, and I heard nary a word about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, exactly.
God, it was the Shedeur Sanders show.
It was. Well, especially the deeper we got into it. You know, the deeper you get into the first round.
Yeah. Indignancy of the. I always hate watching ESPN because Lewis Reddick and Mel Kiper were just besides themselves with rage.
Lewis Reddick's world was falling apart last night on him.
Yeah.
That Shedeur didn't get drafted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it was. And they kept blaming unnamed sources and stuff. Dude, those unnamed sources are the people who are not drafting Shedeur Sanders right now.
Who are making the picks. They're acting like these people are from outside the league. Like, no, all 32 teams said, literally all 32 teams, because they all had their first round picks going into last night, all said no thanks to Shedeur Sanders. So that was a big story, which we will definitely get into on the show today. And then the other big story is the magnificent Gladstone made a big splash in his first draft as the youngest GM in the league. James Gladstone, the general manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars, moved up from 5 to 2 in the draft in a trade with Cleveland to select Travis Hunter, the unicorn out of Colorado, the cornerback / wide receiver, Heisman Trophy winner. Here was the magnificent Gladstone talking about coming from the culture of the F them picks culture of the Rams, trading all these picks to go get Travis Hunter.
I probably got some familiarity with the them picks sort of process. So for our fans, I'll tell you, don't be scared. This is something I'm uniquely positioned to navigate. And we ended up bringing Travis Hunter to Jacksonville. And with that, he is somebody who is deserving of a first-round draft pick as a wide receiver, and he is worthy of a first-round draft pick as a corner. Certainly look forward to each of those elements showing themselves over the next few years while he's under his rookie contract. But, we're excited about just getting him in the boat, so to speak.
Not a lot of
good, and it's good that he pointed out that he's uniquely positioned to handle that dynamic. Magnificent Gladstone.
Good job.
You are the wonders. Behold the wonders.
Yep.
Behold what I have brought to you and delivered unto you because of my unique positioning.
Yes, he's Moses, basically, with the
my
tablets.
My singular talents can do this and pull this off in such a way that nobody else could.
It's funny. He's getting a lot of love for this trade. This trade was very similar to the Will Anderson trade. Not as big a move up, just quantitatively. That move was 9 spots. But moving up from 5 to 2, may as well kind of, that's probably maybe even more expensive than moving up from 12 to 3 in some ways. Gave up their second this year, which the Texans did 2 years ago for Will. Gave up a first rounder next year, which the Texans did in their trade for Will. And then there were some fourths and sixths that got swapped around, which happened in that trade as well. This was a very similar trade to the Will Anderson trade. I think the interesting thing is it feels like Gladstone is getting a lot more praise for this trade than the Texans did 2 years ago for the Will Anderson trade.
And I get and understand that. I can't hate on the Jaguars for making this move. Right. I think it's a bold move, but it's for a potential unicorn of a football player. So there's multiple ways, as it is with every draft pick, that it can go wrong. But I credit them for making a really gutsy move. And honestly, I know, listen. Don't fear. Don't fear the challenge, all right? The Jaguars got him, but now they got to do something with him.
Yeah.
All right? Trevor Lawrence is going to be throwing him the ball.
Yeah. Right? Well, that cut.
Potentially, I don't know. or he'll be sitting on the bench watching him play defensive back.
It sounds like from that cut from Gladstone, he's definitely doing something on both sides of the ball. They are going to use him on both sides of the ball. The question is, which one will be the predominant one? Which one will be the spot duty one? Or do they do something more with it? Gave up a lot to get the guy, man. Like, they gave up enough, Seth, to where the price would justify using him extensively on both sides of the ball. They gave up a lot to go get him. So we'll see. There's your headlines. 7 o'clock hour coming up. So Seth touched on it. There's a lot of guys that started flying off the board yesterday from about Kelvin Banks at 9 to the Saints right up until Donovan Jackson at 24 to the Vikings. There were players flying off the board that Seth and I had discussed extensively the last few months in the mock draft segment that we do. Which of these hurt the most? Which of the guys that flew off the board that were earmarked as possible Houston Texans hurt the most for you? We'll tell you which ones hurt the most for us. Text in 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch weighing in as well. This is a weigh-in day, man, here on a Friday. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.